Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. They will do all these things to you on the account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. The point in common with these three documents are gentes, missio redentoris, and the joy of the gospel is the call to be missionaries. Argentes is taken from the documents of Vatican II. Missio Redentoris was the missionary document of John Paul II, probably the best missionary document, with Pope Francis's Joy of the Gospel written the past 25 years. And the foundation will be Argentes, which came from Vatican II. So what I'd like to do today is try to give all of you tools to be missionaries. To be missionaries. Because all of us are called to be missionaries. From baptism, when you're baptized, you're anointed priest, prophet, and king. Priest, there are two types of priesthood. The common priesthood of the faithful, you people, and ministerial priesthood. Someone who's ordained by the bishop. Priest, king means this, not so much you want to rule over others, to subjugate others, to dominate others, but Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. So the kingly royal interpretations were called to serve. Prophet is this. Prophet is someone who announces the good news. When I was 7 or 8, I thought a prophet was someone who looked into a crystal ball. That's what I thought as an 8-year-old, and he was able to, you know, predict the future. That's a paganistic interpretation of prophet. Prophet is someone who's called to spread the good news by, as we read in the Liturgy of the Hours today, St. Augustine says you got to preach the Word of God by your lips, but especially by your life. Okay, in about an hour and a half, we're going to be having the first of two confirmations today. Today we have confirmations at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, and if you want to come, go get a cup of coffee at McDonald's and come back at 10 o'clock, come. You're more than welcome. We're able to receive communion twice a day, so I would invite you to come to that second Mass and pray for these confirmation students. Now when you are confirmed, the bishop says this, "Now you're called to defend the faith and spread the faith." Spanish, defender la fe, difundir la fe. Those are the words that the bishop says to the candidates. You're called to spread the faith and defend the faith. How many people here are confirmed? I think all of you are. Do you take those words seriously? Más o menos, I think, no? Okay, defend the faith means you have to know the faith. I think the greatest, this is my opinion now, the greatest, one of the greatest defenders of the Catholic faith today is Patrick Madrid. You ever heard of him? He's a lay person with, 12 kids. He's about 3 years younger than me. And I try to listen to him a little bit every morning. I don't think I've ever heard anyone. He's a real gentleman. He's polished. He's articulate. He's bilingual. And people attack him at times. And when they start to attack him, I say, let's see how he reacts. He is always a gentleman. But he really knows his faith. He's like one of, he's not an ordained man. He's got 11 kids. But he's highly educated. Highly educated. You ask him any topic, what book to read, he'll give you 5 books like that. I mean, just like that, off the top of his head, he'll give you this book, that book, this book, that book, an article. So, he's a layperson. So take this layperson on Relevant Radio, he's a layperson, as a model for us. And that means, you know, you have to know your faith. You have to know your faith. Now some of you might be saying, well, Father, you know, where do I start? Where do I start? Okay, I'll respond in this way. I say, you have to study at least 3 sources. Okay, you have to get to know the Bible better. So, the first Thursday of June, I'm going to be giving a course on the Acts of the Apostles, and all the month of June and the first week of July, Sunday morning, I'm going to be giving a course on theology if you'd like to come. So this is an opportunity in which myself, a priest, for 33 years today, my anniversary is today, I'm giving you an opportunity for you to get to know your faith better. So by giving you this formation on the Acts of the Apostles and giving you a mini course in theology, you're not going to get a doctorate in 10 classes, but at least I'll give you a foundation as to what theology is. So that verb, to defend. You can't defend your faith if you don't know it. You can't. Common sense, right? You can't give what you don't have. So I really feel that we have to have a solid foundation in the Bible. I'll give you an example. The 2 hot moral issues today in this country are obviously what? Number 1 is abortion. Thanks be God for Unplanned and Gosnell, those 2 movies. Praise the Lord. Great movies. Have you seen them? Unplanned with Abby Johnson and Gosnell. Great movies. I think the pro-life movement is moving forward. You know, thousands, if not millions of people are watching these movies, and the people that are uncertain, I think their convictions are being moving toward pro-life. And the second would be that of the gay agenda and the whole idea of gender. Those are the 2 issues. Now, okay. If you're arguing with someone in defense of marriage between man and woman, you got tons of sources. You can give Freud. You can take Darwin. You can take this modern psychologist. You can take this modern sociologist. You can get this this person who speaks on the radio or TV. The sources are there's a plethora of sources that makes your head spin. But this is the key. This is the key issue in defending the truth. If you were a public speaker, as I am for many years, if you've ever done public speaking, the key to public speaking is the authority of the sources you use. I repeat, the key element to public speaking is the authority of the sources. If I just say, you know, Joe Smith said that, you're going to say, well, who the heck is Joe Smith? He happened to be my grandfather, but you know, no one knows that. My mom's maiden name was Smith, no? But if you say someone like that, you don't give any credence to it, because who the heck is Joe Smith? But if I were to say, hey, this is what Shakespeare said. Or I'd say, hey, you ever hear Aristotle from Nicomachean Ethics? You ever hear that, ever read that one? Wow. I say, well, according to Thomas Aquinas and his friend, St. Augustine. You're going to say he wasn't his friend, he wasn't even born yet. Okay, well, now they're friends in heaven, okay? I mean, these are the big guns, right, Joe? These are the big guns, no? Or Witness of Hope, George Weigel, speaking about John Paul II, you got powerful authority, powerful. But if I were to say, according to the prophet Jeremiah, I were to say, 1 Corinthians 13, this is what love is. But I were to say, Matthew 5, 8, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. So, for you to defend a topic, you have to base your topic upon biblical resources. Then now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, well, what if the person doesn't believe in the Bible? Okay, my response is this. To be an educated person in the world, even though you don't believe in the Bible is by far the most bought, purchased, read book in the whole world. That's your response. Otherwise, you're an ignoramus. You are. If you do not have resource to the Bible, which is the most famous book in the world, that's a sign of gross ignorance on your part. You can use that argument. Then take biblical resources to prove, for example, why same-sex marriages and changing your sex, that it's not only dumb, it's not only against common sense, but it is diabolical. It's diabolical. Because the devil, what does he do? The devil does three things. The devil blinds us, deafens us, and binds us. Amen? That's what the devil does. The devil blinds us. The devil deafens us. Do you hear me? What, Father? Okay. And the devil binds us. That's the work of the devil. So you take the biblical resource, God created man and woman. A man will leave his father and mother. He will be united to his wife. What God has put together, let no one rent asunder. Amen? And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. A 7-year-old kid could understand that. If he's got his head screwed on right. Excuse my English. It's so clear. So study the Bible, and then you have to get to know the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You got to read it. Maybe start by reading UCAT, which is a good summary of it, or DUCAT, which would be the social doctrine of the Church. When I was studying in Rome, Father Almond said to us, you know, if you really want to get to know your faith, you got to read and read and read and read and read and read and read. And you got to read and read and read and read. You hear me? And you got to read and read. So by reading, open the Holy Spirit, you start to memorize key concepts. And when these topics surface, like abortion and same-sex marriages and euthanasia and all these moral topics that are floating out there, your mental gear, your mental schema is able to respond to that. So you're called to be missionaries. And the third is this. You study the Bible, the Catechism, the Catholic Church, then everyone here has to pray to the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit. What specific area? What specific area should you become specialized in? You hear me? We live in the United States, we deal in specialization. For example, I have an older brother who's a doctor, but he's not a pediatrician. He's not an oncologist. He's not a urologist. He is an orthopedic surgeon. What does that mean? He knows everything about medicine, but he's an expert in operating the back and the neck. That's his specialization. That's what he studied at Columbia Medical School in New York back in the 80s, a specialist. We have to be like Dr. Broom. We have to be specialists. We should know all of our faith. Like if you ask him questions in general in medicine, he'll tell you. But the specialization would be surgery in the back. You have to ask yourself, where is God placing you with respect to moral problems that you have to respond to? So look at your world. Are you a teacher? Do you work in a factory? Do you work in an office? Are you an architect? Are you an engineer? Step back and look at your world and your children and your grandchildren. It might be such that you have maybe a grandchild or a nephew or niece that's living a gay life. Okay, well, you maybe have to study that. Maybe you have a daughter that's living with her boyfriend. Maybe you got to study matrimony. Maybe you've got an uncle who's a Jehovah's Witness that's trying to attack the faith. You got to study what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. Maybe you got someone that's promoting abortion. You got to study abortion. Maybe if someone that is attacking the hierarchy of the church. Okay, the church is being attacked right and left. Defend the church. Defend the church. The church is being vilified and attacked as never before. You defend the church. You hear me? Defend the church. I tell you, I celebrate my 33 years today. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a Catholic. I'm proud to be a priest. I'm proud to be an oblate of the Virgin Mary. Irrespective of the problems of the church, I'm proud to be a Catholic. Aren't you? Be proud to be a Catholic. And the reading of the Gospel today is perfect. Jesus said you're going to be persecuted. He said it 5 times today. If you're going to be a follower of mine, you're going to be persecuted. Who knows, maybe in the near future, some of us will receive the greatest of all graces, to die as a martyr. That would be the grace of all graces, to die as a martyr, shedding our blood for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So my friends, Fulton Sheen teaches us, how are we going to be a missionary? It's got to be first come and then go. Come to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Study His Word. Learn His doctrine. Learn the truth. Then after you have come to Christ, filling yourself with the Eucharist, filling yourself with the Word of God, filling yourself with the truth, then go out to all the world to save souls. Amen.